The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back. Second hour is live. We appreciate you being here. Let's get back to the calls. And Ronnie is in Mississippi. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello, Mr. Powell. First of all, I was going to say, have you heard from Squirrel?
Not this week.
Down in Madison, he's about 80 miles from Rolling Fork. He's 80 miles south.
Okay. Well, we will hopefully he's doing okay. We'll check.
Yes, sir. Do you not think Pete Golden is going to help Ole Miss on defense? I heard you yesterday pick Auburn to beat Ole Miss, and I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, right now, I think picking too many games before the season is foolish, considering we don't know the quarterback situation at either school. But I do know Ole Miss fans seem really excited about Pete Golden showing up there. Hey, thank you very much for the call. You take care of yourself. Kenneth is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you today, buddy?
Okay, thank you.
Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, your last guest who was talking about hitting the hooker, and I think I heard him said that they were basing him on competition when he played against Alabama. But did he even base it on when him the hooker them played against Georgia?
Yeah, I don't want to sit here and call an expert crazy.
Right.
But his logic made no sense, because he talked about how Hendon Hooker, you know, should go high because of the competition. He forgot the Georgia game where Hendon Hooker was. And then, but if you're going to pick the guy who did best against the best competition, it was Stetson Bennett. And then he said, well, he's undersized.
Okay, Paul, this is my last point to that. Is Kyler Murray, I think this is an idea. Kyler Murray, is he any taller than Stetson Bennett and Bryce Young?
No, he's probably probably shorter.
Okay, Paul, thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah,
that.
I mean, I really do. I mean, Tannenbaum was literally all over the place today, which is his prerogative. I'm not doing a mock draft. He is, but he had flawed logic. You know, one guy's undersized, who's bigger than Bryce Young. Hendon Hooker could have been number one if he hadn't had the ACL injury. I don't really see that. Bryce Young is a different type of quarterback. I mean, Hendon Hooker is great. I'm glad to see him considered that high. But the more Tannenbaum talks, the more you realize why he's an analyst versus a GM. Logan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Logan. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to say a couple things. You just nailed that one. Tannenbaum, there's a reason why he is not a GM making picks like that. Got him fired. And so he can just do his little thing, but I don't think anybody's going to listen to him. The other thing I was going to say is Dawn Staley needs a new cell phone. Man, she's probably got plenty of money, so she needs to invest in a new cell phone. That picture yesterday was pretty rough. But the main thing I wanted to talk about, Paul, was Jim and Jeff. You got Jim, you got the worst caller on the Feinbaum Show, calling in to support the second worst caller on the Feinbaum Show. And I just don't get it. I don't understand why they call. Did both of those guys advance in their brackets, Paul, or did Jeff get beat?
Jeff did not. But the thing that got me about Jim's call, and here we are talking about him, but
Sorry, Paul.
Excited about – I mean, I thought he was going to say, yeah, it's great to hear Logan. It's great to hear this guy. But he picked a guy who is – you ever been to a party, Logan, and it's 12:45, 1 o'clock, and the place is starting to clear out, and some guy has been sitting next to you for an hour and a half. You know, he's on his seventh Crown Royal, and he's talking about how his wife left him. And his job sucks, and you just can't get up because the guy literally has his hand on your hand as he talks.
Oh my God, Paul, that's totally Jeff, and he also talks loud. He talks like an intoxicated guy that can't hear himself. He's like, hey, Paul.
Yeah,
Paul.
And how Jim, who is supposed to be a connoisseur of great calls, could buy that, I'll never know.
I don't get it. I mean, Jim, I don't know what's going on with that guy, man. He calls in and he calls you all kinds of names and he calls me names and everybody. And then he's going to sit there and call in and act like the nicest guy in the world. I don't get it, Paul. And I just want to say one thing to Susie. She gave me some props last week. And I just want to say, Susie, I thought you deserved to win that bracket. I'm sorry you didn't win, but you deserve that, Susie. Next time, you're going to win. I think she lost it. Did she lose to JK?
Yeah, but listen, I'm really, I mean, Susie, people, newcomers to the bracket just need to accept that it's a difficult bracket. Don't get hung up on this. I mean, don't, by the way, like Booker, you don't need to thank all your campaign supporters.
No, Booker's fine. And I mean, but, you know, I didn't even get in the bracket, guys. So I'm in the NIT
Logan, you came in about a day late.
That's true, Paul. I did. But, hey, man, thanks for letting me call you. As usual, great show. I love the interviews, and I love the callers more than anything else. So thanks a lot.
AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
It seems like I am not the worst caller, because I know I'm the worst guy. I know I'm the worst caller. I admit it, Mr. Feinbaum. I admit my fault. I know that. But I challenge myself every day to call in and make sure my next call is a little bit better than that. You know, I'm challenging myself. This is why I love calling the radio stations. I want to say hello or two, and I'm going to hang up. But my question is a very important question. How do you deal with day in? Because you have other things to do. So when you sit down 3 to 7, how do you deal with worst callers, great callers, good callers, and, of course, AC's calling in. I hope I'm not giving you a headache. You know, you have a bald head. I would love to touch that bald head and give you the beautiful kiss, man. You know how much I love you. But God willing, I'll holler at you tomorrow. Page 54, homie, page 54.
Thank you, AC. Let's check in with David next. Hello, David. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. It's great to talk to the GOAT.
Thank you.
Of sports talk in the country.
Appreciate.
You are the GOAT. So, I've just got a question for you concerning the men's Final Four and the ladies' Final Four.
Sure.
Can FAU win their game in the men's? Can LSU win their game in the ladies? And then can they each win the national championship? I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Yeah, I think FAU could certainly win. I don't think they'll be able to beat UConn. And I think LSU definitely is in a position to beat Virginia Tech. But I don't think South Carolina is beatable. They are the best team in the country. They have been that all year. Sometimes there's an upset, but this team is not going to be upset. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Hal is up next in Georgia. Hey, hello, Hal.
Good afternoon, Paul. I think it's about time for a Tannenbaum conference of all state teams plus one Coastal Carolina. It would be North Carolina State, Savannah State, Georgia State, Florida State, Oklahoma State. I think we're ready for that.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'll be glad to watch any of those teams play.
I will make it happen immediately. Hal, thank you for the call. We head to the break. We have more calls around the corner at 855-242-7285. We're back. Some great guests already. Stick around.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
At this tonight, Texas and Texas A&M, that's going to become a regular thing, and we have it for you tonight, a year before the Horns come into the league at 7 p.m. And we are back, and Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Good afternoon, Paul. I figured out why J.K. is so excited about making the Final Four. The football team's never made it. They're not ever going to make it, so this will be the first time he's ever experienced it. So congratulations to J.K. But, Paul, I got a question for you about Jeff, and maybe you can explain it to me. How in the world does he think Saban was making a joke that it compares to any of his complaining he does about the analysts? Because, you know, Paul, if these analysts were correct about everything, they would have the best betting site on the Internet. So what you ought to do to Jeff is when he calls in today, get his predictions and analysts on the Final Four for the men's and the women. And let him tell us who's going to make the Final Four in football this year and put him on the spot. Let's see how good he does.
Well, the reality is, Trey, I don't care what he thinks in relation to that. But the people that make these predictions have ascended to a position like ESPN or CBS or any other network because they're knowledgeable and they understand. So if they make a wrong prediction, so what? I mean, we talked about the guy on game day who predicted A&M to play, I think, Pittsburgh for the national championship. Anyone can.
He was from Michigan, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, but that's his problem. I was on First Take on the day of the national championship game with Stephen A. Smith, and he predicted TCU to beat Georgia, and I tried to stop him, and he did. And he's still making $12 million a year, and I'm talking to Jim here.
Yeah, Paul, well, I enjoy what they do with that kind of stuff. It does give you an insight on the players and the coaches and the background of the schools and things. So thank you for taking my call, and you have a great day, Paul.
Thank you. But you really, you know, you should be held accountable if you say something inflammatory or defamatory, and it's – deleterious to someone's reputation, you should not be held accountable because you picked the football game incorrectly. So what? It's fun. I always hate to give predictions. If I could just talk for a second, people will stop me because that person who's asking me believes that I know what I'm talking about. And in reality, nobody does. I mean, do you know what and we're not talking about picking winners. We're talking about against the spread. If you close your eyes and bet, you would be lucky to be 50%, and most handicappers would be happy with 52% or 53%. It's very difficult to do. That's why Vegas has so many tall buildings. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Addison next up. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mr. Feinbaum. I'm going to talk about Dawn Staley and the USC women's basketball real quick. Do you think with what she's done and, you know, when she first went there in 2012 and what she's done with the program, do you think that she's the future of South Carolina as what Pat Summitt was to Tennessee? And then do you really think it's going to be an LSU-USC finals? And if it is, do you think we're just going to see the same thing we saw from South Carolina on February 12th, where they just decimated LSU by 20 points because of the way that she has her offense? I mean, she presses her players. She has a triangle offense. They're fast. They're tall. what's your opinion about South Carolina?
Yeah, to the second part, I mean, I must admit, I'm really not qualified to break that game down. I mean, I think it would be a closer game than the first time, primarily because it would be on a neutral site versus in Columbia. As far as Don Staley and Pat Summitt, I think there are many similarities, and I think we're looking at something like that with another title. It would be Dawn's third. It puts her in rarefied air. I mean, Kim Mulkey had three. Geno's had, 11 or 12. Others have had a couple. The coach out at Stanford has won a few. But she has clearly built that program, and I know everyone always tries to get her another job elsewhere, but I don't think she wants to go anywhere because I think she knows what she has there, and it's a remarkable story from every aspect. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's check out Daryl in Baton Rouge. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Paul, how you doing tonight?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. I want to talk about LSU women's basketball if I can.
Sure.
I'm so proud of the girls. I never really started following girls basketball till Kim Mulkey came. And she's done a great job. We're better than a great job.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Job. And South Carolina's a real good team, too. And I'm excited about both Southeastern Conference schools being in the Final Four. I'm as fired up. I don't want to say it's football, but I'm pretty fired up and waiting to see the game, if you know what I mean.
Of course.
Now, Kim Mulkey, when she called you, when you called her, the first thing she said to you was, thank you for covering SEC sports. The last thing she said to you was, thank you, Paul, for covering SEC sports. And I've been watching her press conferences and everything. She leaves no stone unturned. None. She's very brilliant. And she talked about the first matchup with South Carolina. She said all of her freshmen were so wide-eyed in front of 18,000 people. She was talking to them, but they wasn't listening to what she said. She said, but they needed that experience. Not that you need a loss, but you need that experience. So here we go, and we start winning, and we get criticized for the soft schedule, a lot of conference. But first time since 2008 she's there. Can we beat South Carolina? I'd let her answer that, you know. I'm not qualified to answer that. And, you know, I wonder how many other listeners are really getting into where they follow women's sports, because I think it's great, you know, to follow men's baseball, girls softball, basketball. And I think the way it's going, when she's filling up the PMAC now, before she came, there might have been 2,000 people there. Now the games are sold out. So I think, could women's basketball start paying their own way and contribute funds to the university? What's your thought on that?
I do. I think it, at a number of places, it is. Texas A&M has had great success. LSU. Look what Coach Yeo has done at Ole Miss. Tennessee's obvious. Mm-hmm. It won't happen everywhere, but I think when you play in a league like the SEC, and the Big Ten has good basketball too, with Maryland and Iowa and Ohio State and others, it makes it easier. I hope that what we're seeing here is similar to what we have seen in baseball. And you know that because there was a time when outside of LSU and a couple of other places, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Now, this is maybe before Arkansas got into the league. The baseball wasn't a priority, and now it has to be a priority because everywhere you go, they have a new stadium and state-of-the-art facilities. And you know, you look at the top 25. It's scary with all the not for us, but for everybody else when you look at all the SEC schools that are piled in there.
Right. Right. I wonder hardcore male sports followers like Jim and Iron Man, Legend and Larry and all those guys. You think they, of course you can't answer this. I wonder if they're starting to follow girls' sports, because that would tell me that it's really becoming popular, and I'm happy for girls' basketball. And I thank you for taking my
Well, thank
call.
You very much. You raise a really interesting point, and every time you talk about something like that, you leave out a program. But that's really a couple of things have happened for women's basketball, too. And within the SEC, let's go back 10 years, you didn't have that many games on television. Yeah, there were a few. Look what you have now. I sound like I'm just, you know, tooting the horn of the network that you're watching this on, but that was one of the big things that the SEC network brought to the fans. It's the baseball, the softball, basketball. I mean, football, obviously, you used to be able to find games somewhere, but now you know that they'll be on one of three networks or four networks. So that's a big transformation, and it's you know, how many times have we heard the commissioner, Commissioner Sankey, talk about the emphasis on basketball? Well, look, it paid off. Eight schools going to the tournament. Thank you for the call. We head to the break. We have another important guest coming up in a few minutes. More of your phone calls right around the corner.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Randy is back with us as we continue here on a Tuesday afternoon. Hey, Randy.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
Randy, we're great. Thank you.
I wanted to see who you thought was the toughest competition for Georgia in the SEC this year.
Oh, I think regular season it's going to be the late season game at Tennessee.
I was thinking the same thing, huh? And I think the LSU will be back in the SEC championship game as a rematch with Georgia.
Well, that would certainly be intriguing if that happens. It would be tough news for Alabama fans. Randy, thank you for the call. You take care of yourself. Michelle is in Savannah. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Hey, so I have a question. Obviously, I've called twice after our two national championships, Georgia's, but my question is, what do you think our chances are of doing a three-peat?
Well, Michelle, I think they're pretty good for a lot of reasons. Number one, I think the schedule is ridiculously easy, so Georgia will definitely be, in my mind, be in the SEC title game, which gives them a leg up on making the playoffs. And then it's a matter of, you know, has some other team emerged? Is Ohio State dominant this year? Does Alabama come back? Is it LSU? But right now, I would say the odds are pretty good.
Yeah, me too. I don't think Ohio State's anything. So I think Alabama's our big thing.
I was at that game a couple of months ago, and it seemed like it came down to the final kick.
Yes, and halfway through the game, I changed the channel to Hallmark because I could not stand watching them lose. Yeah. But I turned it back, and we actually won. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Michelle. So I don't know how you could legitimately say Ohio State's not anything, but that C.J. Stroud is gone. Maybe things will change. I doubt it, though. Ricky is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, how you doing, Pop?
Okay.
Well, I heard Tannenbaum talk about Hendon Hooker and And, you know, I kind of understand where they're coming from in a sense. I know you're saying he's kind of, you know, wishy-washy, but I'm looking at how they evaluate, you know, the players, you know, and, you know, and maybe his size and his accuracy, and he playing with two guys that may be going in the first round. But you could say the same thing for T.J. Stroud.
Sure.
Look at who he's throwing to, you know? I mean, so I kind of understand what you're saying on that instance, you know, that, you know, and they based Stroud on really one game against Georgia. And, anybody can have a good day, you know, but I do believe Stroud is probably the second best player, though. I mean, as far as quarterbacks, I think Bryce Young has done more. He's more seasoned than any of the rest of them. But I understand why Hooker has probably moved up, and maybe people are trying to keep him on the down low so they can get him. You know, I don't know.
I think you have to look at what you've seen, and with Hooker, he's had two phenomenal years. It wasn't that great before then, but that's not really part of the equation. I mean, same thing with Will Levis.
Right.
I think it's equal. Exactly. I don't think it's that. I mean, to me, the fact that Hooker has moved up versus Levis shouldn't be a surprise. I just don't know. The only thing I couldn't believe that Tannenbaum said was that if he had not had the ACL, he perhaps would have gone ahead of Bryce Young. I'm not sure I see that.
I don't get that part either. But
yeah, I mean, that's what I thought he
thing, Paul,
got on the funny stuff.
But I am a big fan of women's basketball myself. You know, as a state fan,
sure.
Schaefer brought that program up pretty good, you know, and of course Mississippi State baseball, you know. So I'm just grateful for the outlet that ESPN and the SEC Network has brought, and I think that's the major reason why you probably got more, you know, women's sports being, you know, because you see softball and gymnastics. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of younger people, Ricky, don't realize that these games were not available. There were some cable networks, sports. I can't remember Sports South. Some of the there were a couple of them that showed some games, but not all the games.
Yeah, but I could never see Mississippi State hardly ever.
No,
unless they were good, you know. And you know, maybe the last. You remember when they had to play. What was that? Back in the 90s when they were good. And a little bit, you know, and when Jackie Sherrill was playing was coaching, and you saw them one or two times a year, you know?
One more thing about the spring sports, and I mean, all these games are available digitally as well. So if you're a parent, you can watch your son or daughter play.
I'll be watching Mississippi State in a minute, man. You know, in baseball, you know.
Exactly.
You get that, and that's like you say, the young people, they don't really understand that this was not happening 10, 15 years ago.
No, it's a tremendous transformation, and. Appreciate it very much, Ricky. Always great to hear from you. Tadpole is up next. Hello, Tadpole.
Hello.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call. I was listening earlier, and there was a man who had been to the Pacific and was very impressed with everything in Hawaii. My son gave me a book for Christmas. It's called Unbroken.
Oh, sure.
And it's by Laura
Hildebrand.
Higginbrand.
Yeah.
And it is about World War II in the Pacific. And it's true. And
it follows one man in particular. That book has been made into a movie. I don't know if you knew that or not. But a friend of mine
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a friend of mine watched the movie the other day, and said it was phenomenal.
Well, it is a tremendous book. So,
yeah, I remember when the book came out. It's about how one person in particular endured the prison camps during World War II.
And the plane going down,
right.
And yeah, and all
it's a very
the
uplifting book.
And
he went back to try to meet with his tormentors. And
right.
Anyway, I won't give the whole book away if somebody would like to read it, but I appreciate you mentioning that.
Yes, but I thought that since the man called and was impressed with the Pacific, that
right.
he might want to read the book.
Well, I will make sure that John hears about that. Tadbolt, thanks for sharing that. Always great to pass a good book along here on our show. We take a break. More to come. Gordon Whitener at the top of the hour. Some fascinating tales that he will share with us about his career. Back after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. We appreciate you joining us. Bubba in North Carolina is up next.
How's it going, Paul?
Hey, Bubba.
Hey, buddy. I just heard them throwing Hendon Hooker's name around there today. You know, that COVID year really helped a lot of these guys gain an extra year of eligibility, and I just think it really helped in developing him. And some guys that probably wouldn't have been NFL ready at a younger age because of this extra eligibility, it's allowed these guys to get developed at the college level. And everybody's made a big deal about Anthony Richardson going to the NFL, about his just raw athletic ability. But honestly, I don't think he's been developed nearly enough. And I know the NFL will develop him. But I think Joe Milton has as strong a set of tools and physical traits as Anthony Richardson. And honestly, I think if he has a 9-10 win solid season, he'll really go high in the NFL draft next year.
He could, Bubba. He certainly, that one game has just completely, the game against Clemson has really turned the narrative around with him. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's check in with, who are we checking in with? How about Matt in Atlanta? Hello, Matt.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, man?
Okay, Matt. Thank you.
Hey, well, quick shout out to my dogs. Graduated, 20 years ago, 20-some-odd years ago, but went through a lot of coaches there. Dinan was there when I was in school, and Kirby coming home, and being the coach and turning that thing around, well, not really turning it around, but getting it over the hump, winning some titles. I just, you know, every day it's great getting up being a dog fan, I'll tell you that right now. And, you know, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to that. But, you know, really what I wanted to ask you about, is there any standardization of, like, the refereeing around the corner? Like, do you know, are they held to a standard of, like, physical fitness? Or even like eye tests or anything like that?
That's a great question about the eye tests. So you have to wonder if any of them can see. Every league is different.
We're talking about
it depends on where you work. Now, football officials mainly work within the same league. Basketball officials bounce around from one league to the next depending on the night. But I know for a fact that football, at least in the SEC, there is a standardization. They go through, number one, background checks. We're talking about FBI checks, the entire nine yards. In terms of physical ability, yes, they do also have to meet a certain standard of physical fitness, running X number. I don't know what the number is, but one day when we get closer to the season, will do that. I think the real issue is in basketball, where it's endless watching the final 2 minutes of a game.
Well, I know it's crazy, and when you're talking about college athletics, I mean, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a shame that the ends of the game are just left in question.
I think football officials are a little more normal. Basketball officials are generally hot dogs. And the second they can go over there to get the camera on them, I mean, it almost seems like they're just like killing time. I was watching, what was it, the San Diego State? Who were they playing? Creighton the other day. And I mean, I realize it was controversial, but still. I mean,
that's their stage.
How many times have you seen this? The official looks at the monitor for 3 minutes, starts walking away, and then he goes right back.
Right. What's the point, man? What are you doing?
You either know the call or you don't. Hey, thanks for the call. That was cool. Great conversation there. Let's check in with Matt, who is in Maine. Hello, Matt.
Well, hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you doing today,
sir? We are well. Thank you.
Well, I'd just like to commend the UAB Blazers. I think they're the only Fighting Four team in the state of Alabama.
Well, that's absolutely correct. They're playing in the NIT semifinals tonight.
And I have listened to all your callers. I'm a long-time listener. I'm from Dothan, Alabama, and Birmingham, Alabama. I am in the North Woods of Maine, and I would just like to appreciate what the UAB Blazers have done this year. And I just can't believe not one caller on your show, and I listen every day, that nobody in Alabama has said anything about it on your call. So I felt the need to call.
Well, I'm glad you did, Matt. AK has done a phenomenal job since taking over there a couple of years ago. They are always in the running. Were they in Florida Atlantic League? Yeah, I think they were. Played them in the championship game. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Matt in Arkansas. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you doing, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, so the last few callers were talking about men and women's sports and everything. What's your thoughts on the new college hockey style with the SEC women's division getting into hockey? A lot of people talk about mainly your bigger sports is in football, basketball, softball, baseball, but there's other realms of athletics.
Well, I mean, Matt, I think what you're talking about, I mean, aren't these club teams? I mean, these are not officially sanctioned teams.
Well, that's what I'm not sure of. It's what
I watch, such
as track and field. I mean,
hockey obviously is an emerging sport, but it's like in wrestling there. I think, isn't Missouri in another conference in wrestling? So I appreciate your call. It's not going to happen anytime soon, though. Thank you very much for your call. Trey is in Arkansas. You're on the air. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Okay, Trey. Thank you.
All right. I was wanting to ask you if you think Arkansas could win about 10 games, including the bowl game. And if you don't mind, could you help me count them out for me? I have mine, but I was wondering
Trey,
to see what yours is.
You're going to have to help me because I don't see 10 wins for Arkansas.
All right. I think Western Washington or West Carolina, I think that's the win.
Well, let me make it easy for you because we don't have a lot of time. I will grant you Western Carolina, Kent State, and Florida International are wins. That's three wins. Let's find some more.
BYU.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's four. Okay. I'll give it to you since you know more than I do. Four wins. Maybe Missouri at home. That's five wins. Maybe Mississippi State at home. That's even though last year that wasn't much of a game for Arkansas. Let's give Mississippi State
Florida
six wins. Are you going to win in Florida?
Yeah, it's November 4th. Yeah, I think we should win that.
Okay, you're going to win against Auburn at home?
Yeah.
That's seven.
And what about Texas A&M?
I don't know. How about it? We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.